Welcome to this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our podcast at BillMick.com. If you think of Florida, you might think of beaches, tourism, and agriculture. But since the 1950s, Florida also means space. The space industry is ever expanding, and so are opportunities centered around space for Floridians and others. Today, we'll talk with Rob Long, the president and CEO of Space Florida, an organization focused on the expansion of space-related industries, opportunities in the Sunshine State, and all that lies ahead in and around the final frontier. We're doing some exploration ourselves this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Rob Long joins us to talk Space Florida today on the Florida News Network. Glad you're with us, and we're back in a moment.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 30 to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works. Call 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Not a loan company.
And welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Joining me this weekend is Rob Long with Space Florida as we take a look at our state, the impact of space, and where it may be going. A lot of ground to cover, and we're glad you're with us this weekend on the Florida News Network. Rob Long, thank you for taking the time. You're the president and CEO of Space Florida. First and foremost, if you would, tell us what Space Florida is and what your mission is.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me on today. Space Florida is a state's aerospace financing and business development authority, created in about 2007. So we've been going for 15, 16 years now. And, you know, overall, our job is to really grow the aerospace industry here in the state of Florida. Obviously, that includes the space industry as part of that. And, of course, we're blessed to be have the premier, I would call it, spaceport here in the state of Florida. And so that provides additional benefits for us. But overall, we really work with the entire aerospace industry to reduce costs of growth. And so they want to come to the state of Florida and grow and expand and ultimately just continue to build the aerospace industry here in the state.
We've seen a lot of changes in recent years with the expansion of private space, Elon Musk and SpaceX, Blue Origin and others that are getting involved in the private side of this. That's had to be a boon for the state and for what you guys do.
Absolutely. You can see the growth over time. SpaceX has been driving a lot of that with the number of launches that they've had here. But I think it really speaks to what the entire industry is seeing as more and more activities occur in space, more commerce is derived from activities that are occurring in space, whether that's the transportation piece, which is getting to space and moving around in space, but just the data and services that are coming back as part of the overall architecture, whether that's like a Starlink or imagery or any number of other services, communications, of course. Those are the ones where we really just see that growth, and then which is driving, of course, the launch or the space transportation side of that.
Well, and changes for people on the ground, communication, especially as you mentioned, with what we do with our cell phones, what we do with GPS devices, it's barely any time in a day that we're not impacted by what goes on in space.
That's absolutely true. Space is really woven into the fabric of everything that we do from an economic perspective, especially from ATMs on a day-to-day basis using timing signals from GPS satellites to, as you mentioned, communications. And you would imagine even things like Google Maps and navigation systems just to get us around. So there's just so much that is utterly dependent on resources that are provided or exist in space.
As we get started, how did Rob Long come to be the president and CEO of Space Florida? What path did you take to get there?
Yeah, my path started actually in the U.S. military. So I graduated college and was commissioned into the United States Air Force. And at that time, I was both an engineer, but I also was assigned into the space operations career field. And then just over 26 years or so, I had various positions and responsibilities as I grew in the U.S. military, the Air Force at first, and then when the U.S. Space Force was created about 3 years or 4 years ago now, I had the opportunity to transition over with the space career field into that. So I spent the last 3 years of my career in the U.S. Space Force, and I was actually out at Vandenberg Space Force Base in California as the commander of Space Launch Delta 30 and the Western Test Range in Vandenberg Space Force Base.
So viable experience for you in the military to be where you are with Space Florida. Good to have someone who has that on-the-ground experience in space at doing what you're doing now. And I look forward to talking to you more about it as the Florida Roundtable continues this weekend on the Florida News Network. Massive changes in space, and we'll take a look with Rob Long and see where we're going with space and how they help us get there with Space Florida on this edition of the Florida Roundtable. We're back in moments.
Having health insurance is important. So if you or anyone in your family has Medicaid or CHIP, listen up. Check your mail for a renewal form from your state. Complete the form and mail it back right away so you don't lose your coverage. If you do lose Medicaid or CHIP, visit healthcare.gov to see if you're eligible to enroll in a low-cost, quality health plan. Keep your family covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Joining me, the president and CEO of Space Florida, Rob Long. And Rob, we were talking about your background, having the military background, involved in space from the beginning, even in the Space Force, your last few years in the military. Let's talk about space and how it's grown here. And as you mentioned in our open, it's the premier location for launching here in the United States. Not it's the only one, but it is the premier. What's involved in drawing those industries here to Florida?
Well, obviously, I think when you look at the space side of things, having Cape Canaveral and Kennedy Space Center located here is probably the number one draw. And that's, you know, 70 years of history of really leading or being in the forefront of the space launch business. But then over time, as we see the overall economy grow and commerce grow from space, then that just puts an additional driver. And you start to see the expansion of industries associated both with the launch industry, but, you know, companies that are wanting to be maybe closer to a workforce that includes experts in the space industry. For example, Airbus OneWeb satellites being manufactured here in this area would be a good example of that. Obviously, Blue Origin's factory building their launch vehicles nearby. And then there's many, many others that are could be included in that. So I think what you see is when you have over 72 launches scheduled or 72 launches last year and over 100 scheduled for this coming year, that workforce that's there and the talent that's associated with it really, I think, drives interest from aerospace companies to want to come to this area.
No, time was that all the various parts for that go into space vehicles and the like, the rockets and the crew capsules, would be built elsewhere, shipped in here, and it was a long and arduous process. With manufacturing happening here now, that's got to make it easier for the space operations folks, or you would think so.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it definitely drives down, especially with large vehicles. You can imagine the size of a New Glenn or something like a Starship with the super heavy booster. You know, when you're trying to move those large pieces of hardware around, the closer you can get to the launch site, that definitely provides a benefit. And then, like I said, it really then builds on itself in terms of once you have a workforce that's interested in that, then it allows you to, you know, want to do payload processing, for example, somewhere nearby. And then, you know, Amazon Kuiper's facility is a great example of that as well. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, when you have a transportation hub, you start to see the corollary and complementary industries that crop up associated with that. And of course here, it's largely driven by the Space Coast, local to Brevard County anyway.
Yet there are other facilities around the state and even around the country still in operation. I mean, SpaceX with its mission control in California, yet managing very well what's going on here. What's the competition like for trying to draw or lure space industry here as opposed to other locations around the country? And what is the competition? What do we look at when that occurs?
Well, there's certainly competition across the United States, which is, I think, in my mind, a really good thing. Competition breeds excellence overall. But, you know, I think when we look at what the state of Florida has to offer, not only location, but we also have really, I would say, unrivaled experience in terms of workforce. We have an extremely pro-business friendly climate here in the state. And then on top of that, you know, we at Space Florida have some pretty unique tools in our disposal, financial tools primarily, that allow companies to reduce their overall cost and really save over the long run, and it becomes a strategic partnership. So, you know, there's a lot to offer here from the state of Florida from an aerospace industry perspective.
Does that mean you folks at Space Florida work hand in hand with the various economic development authorities across the state and the various counties involved?
Absolutely. You know, we have great partnerships both with the EDCs across the state, as you mentioned, and our partners up at the Department of Commerce as well at the state level. So, you know, we have something like 150, almost 160 projects going on across the state right now, and which obviously keeps us busy. But at the same time, I think it speaks to the interest and demand signal for aerospace companies wanting to come here to the state.
We recently had a relatively successful test flight with SpaceX's Starship, the longest flight it's had so far. and it broke apart on reentry. Of course, you want those to happen in test flights, and that's what test flights are for, and we're glad to see that you know, nobody's injured, no harm when that occurs. But the testing is important. How tough is it? I mean, we don't we do test flights here, but we seem to see testing elsewhere. Give me your angle on that.
Well, if you think about it, you know, Cape Canaveral originally said it is a test range, and there are quite a few test activities that happen out here off the East Coast quite regularly, actually. They may not get all the notoriety that a large launch vehicle like Starship does, but at the same time, you know, space launch is a business that has over time taken a lot of time to develop systems, and you need test ranges to do that, and that's somewhat of our history. But I think what's important now is that we're starting to transition from a test type activity into a regular day-to-day operational activity, moving from a test range to a spaceport, no different than an airport or a seaport or any other transportation hub. So I think that's what you'll start to see. You'll still need to have some of these, you know, areas by which people can test out their new vehicles, but that's going to be hand in hand with regular activity, ongoing transportation activities to, from, and even in and through space.
Well, as commercial space continues to advance and you have those commercial launches on a regular basis like we do on the Space Coast now, with Starlink launches seeming to happen every week or nearly there so, other launches, manned crew launches, supply missions to the space station and the like, will that crowd the schedule so much as commercial expands there that we might be looking for another test launch facility either here in Florida or elsewhere for those kind of things? Is there another opportunity to be had there?
You're absolutely correct. You know, capacity of Cape Canaveral in this area is something that we are definitely focused on and working very closely with our partners at Space Launch Delta 45 and Space Force and, of course, NASA Kennedy Space Center. But as we look at that, at the same, we do want to consider other options and just understand what the in the realm of possible as we start to not only build out capacity in the network, but also resilience in the network, and making sure that, you know, if you have a critical node, that that critical node at Cape Canaveral, for example, will continue to operate undisturbed. And so that's what was important. You know, when we look across the state specifically, the legislature recently designated two more locations as spaceport territory at Tyndall Air Force Base and Homestead Air Reserve Base, but that adds to others across the entire state. So we're in the midst of looking at a planning effort to just to understand a bit better how can we take a networked approach to our overall space transportation capacity, and then see what that looks like so that we can do exactly what you say, make sure that we have a good, robust network in place.
We currently see launches, and maybe more rarely, from sites in Virginia. We mentioned Texas already. You mentioned Hawthorne and the SpaceX launches that go from there. Is there competition for those launches, or are those launch locations mission-specific? Is that something that you guys are involved in, and what type of missions do we want to bring here?
Certainly, you know, I think over time, the teams here at NASA and the Space Force have demonstrated that any type of orbit, nearly any type of orbit, can be reached from the East Coast. And I think that's a great thing, because that'll complement, you know, when we look nationally, making sure we have a complete capability and an ability to reach any orbit from theoretically multiple locations in the United States. But I think at the same time, you know, you are going to be still limited in some regards. If you're in some of the other locations, just geographically, the benefit of the state of Florida in general, anyway, is that we have access southerly, either over the Gulf of Mexico or from the East Coast, and then, of course, easterly, which is our primary benefit, launching out over the Atlantic to reach orbit.
Mm-hmm. Very good. As the things progress with space and where things are going now, the launch schedule gets busier and busier. How difficult is it to sell Florida when you're starting to see it be busy? Or does that change the dynamic for you at all?
Well, I wouldn't say it changes it, and nothing else, and it actually enhances it. I think when you see companies out there, they see where the activity is, they see where the center of gravity is for space activity, space transportation activity. I was just overseas on a meeting with some companies, and they all were very interested in coming to the state of Florida just to be near that activity. So I think really it's just the opposite. As the activity increases, the interest will continue to increase in the state of Florida.
Well, Space Florida, as an arm of government, obviously you have the support of the legislature, the governor. Are the financial resources that you need, are those adequate? What's it like dealing with the legislature for those funding needs for you?
We get tremendous support from the legislature and the governor's office, and we were very fortunate to receive an additional increase in our recurring funding. And that's really, you know, we see the demand continuing to increase year over year. You know, when you look at the first 5 or so years, 10 years of Space Florida, we had about a $6 billion economic impact and from the projects that came through the pipeline at that time. And then over the next couple of years, we see it increasing, you know, about $1 billion of impact a year. So that demand signal is really, we want to make sure that we're not losing any opportunities. And so we worked very closely with both the our lieutenant governor, our chair, and the legislature, and we're extremely grateful for their support. We have such a great relationship, I think, at the state level. I think the state sees the value and the importance of the aerospace industry here in Florida, and that is definitely something that we benefit from.
Very good. As we continue, I want to talk about the space operations and development of those things. What your role specifically is, how you're able to help these companies, what kind of things are in play, and who all gets involved. It's got to be a challenging but yet very rewarding thing for you guys, Rob.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun, especially for somebody like myself who's been in the space business for some time. But, you know, we have such an interesting financial toolkit that we can offer companies to lower their overall capital costs. That's one of our primary benefits. And when we sit down with those companies and walk them through how we can lower their costs overall, and not just initially when they first show up, but over a long term, through a long term strategic partnership, that really cements their desire to usually come to the state. But then on top of that, we do have our infrastructure planning and our operational pieces that are there to we're really all about working with our partners to ensure they're successful. And so we have those tools in place as well. You know, for example, taking the old shuttle landing facility, taking that over under Space Florida and building out some infrastructure to support.
And a lot to explore there. We'll continue it with Rob Long on the Florida Roundtable. Stay with us.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about $1 to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced. Call now. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call the Home Warranty Hotline now at 800-990-6716. 800-990-6716. 800-990-6716. That's 800-990-6716.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the sparkle effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Rob Long, the president and CEO of Space Florida, with us on the Florida Roundtable this weekend. Thank you for taking your time and joining us here as well. Rob, as we left, we were talking about support of space operations and development here and the various tools that you have to be able to draw business and help them get established and then stay engaged in what's going on space-wise. It's an exciting time along the Space Coast and really around Florida with everything that goes on space-wise here. So, how do you get a company engaged? How do you farm for the folks you're looking for, or do they come looking for you?
Well, we're pretty fortunate right now that the majority of what we call leads, and those are our initial contacts with companies, come from companies coming to us. They understand, you know, the value, I think, and outwardly understand, you know, what Florida brings to the table. And so we are fortunate that we do not have to go sell too often to other areas and companies, but that signal comes in, and so then we'll sit down and work with them, understand what their needs are, and then how potentially either locations across the state match their needs, and then of course working with them on the financial side to encourage their growth.
Folks who are interested and want to take a look, they can go to your website at spaceflorida.gov, and there are opportunities listed there. The things that you guys do, whether it might be land acquisition or helping folks find places to lease or build facilities, that's got to be a valuable resource to somebody in that business looking to do these things.
Yeah, when you look at what the savings on capital and capital expenditures that our tools provide, you know, when a chief financial officer, for example, we'll look at that and really see the value and that long-term savings. Because our goal is to really enter into some of those long-term strategic partnerships with these companies. And I think we see the fruit of those, the companies that have partnered with us to, let's say, build a facility here in the state of Florida. Many of those companies are coming back to us because they realize the value in that partnership and the financial tools that are associated with it. So that's just continues that flywheel of growth spinning.
Very good. What about if a company's already here, they look to expand, they're going to grow, they get a new contract, they see other options in the space industry that maybe they weren't in it initially to get involved in. Do you help those existing companies as they look to grow as well?
Absolutely. There's no restriction. And in fact, you know, we would really even try to help really anybody across the state that's in the aerospace industry that wants to grow. And it's a pretty broad range of opportunities out there, from maintenance facilities and refurbishment and overhaul facilities to traditional factories, and even some training and other opportunities. So we're pretty diverse. If you look at the statute that created Space Florida and the definitions in that, it gives us a lot of options to work with companies here to continue to grow and bring jobs to the areas.
Obviously, you've got a lot of support with the state itself. It created your entity, and that's what you're there to do. What's the relationship like with NASA or maybe any of the private space companies that are out there working now? How does that relationship work and help you in what you do?
Well, we have really close partnerships with both NASA and, of course, the Space Force here on the Space Coast. And those I would characterize those as very strong relationships. Obviously, myself coming from the Space Force before taking on this responsibility, some of those are colleagues of mine from my past job, so that really certainly helps. And we have just a tremendous partnership with the KSC team. But really, if you expand that, you know, I spent some time going across the state and meeting with, of course, the military agencies and bases across there. But really, any of the partners and companies that we meet with, it's always a very positive conversation. And we take advantage of that, obviously. But at the same time, it's all about working hand in hand and growing together.
Does Space Florida have any role in space employment for folks who are looking to get into some aspect of space, and what would that role be?
Yeah, one of the things that we hear often from companies as they either are looking to grow in the state of Florida or come to the state of Florida is how is the workforce, the aerospace workforce? And you know, it is definitely strong, but we want to continue to build that as much as we can. You know, we've seen about a 40% increase in aerospace employment over the last 10 years here across the state. So the demand signal is there. And our job on the workforce side is to not only work with the companies to understand their needs, but then work through all the state colleges, universities, and certification programs to make sure that we're aligning those pipelines to what the companies need, but at the same time, really reaching out to the very early phases and getting into the secondary and elementary school levels even, just to explain that, you know, what opportunities are out there in the aerospace industry. And that, you know, if you want to go through and get some sort of great technical skill, I will tell you that the highly skilled technical labor is certainly a need, you know, for working in space. And you can imagine, you know, the same skills that are required to work on an airplane engine are likely the same to work on a rocket engine. And so those are all definitely needed now. And we continue to work with across the state to make that happen.
I've got a former producer of my show who left radio for a while, and he went into a training program at Eastern Florida State College, went into the aerospace industry, where he still works for a military contractor today. Fortunately, he's found the time to come back and help us part-time every now and then, because he was an immensely talented guy. So there are opportunities that are presented through that training. Of course, you've got Florida Tech, you've got Embry-Riddle here on the East Coast, other colleges around the state that are renowned for the engineering schools they put together. So big opportunities there. But there are also opportunities in just about every level of employment, even for these companies. They all need HR people. They all need administrative folks and the like, in addition to the folks that are actively engaged in what's happening with the space vehicles or whatever part they are involved with.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point in that, and we remind people of that as well often, in that, you know, you need economists, you need finance people, you need experts in contracting and all the associated, what we call maybe back shop operations, things that are so vitally critical to making work happen. And there's no reason that, you know, if you're at a business school in the state of Florida, for example, that you wouldn't want to move over into the space industry as you graduate.
Yeah, those skills are going to be needed by all of these companies that are involved there. Let's shift gears a little bit and look toward the future. We're seeing some space tourism right now. It is rather expensive. It's an elite crowd that gets to try to take a rocket ride into the lower reaches of space. Where do you see that going? And does Space Florida have any role in helping develop that down the road?
Space tourism is exciting. I mean, for me personally, as someone who's grown up, you know, from very young age, excited about space. You know, I'm looking forward to somehow maybe someday having the opportunity to get up there myself. But I think you're going to see that as some of these early phases are maybe more inclined, maybe more expensive, but that'll come down with time, just like any mode of transportation would. So I think, you know, as we continue to do that, we're going to continue to see space just as another mode of transportation. And I think it's a very important to consider space that way, just like we consider air travel or sea travel or even road and rail as just normal means to move things around. So tourism is a piece of that. And I would expand that to all activities that are going to need to happen in space. And, you know, you can imagine sooner or later to the moon and beyond.
Why did I have flashbacks of Irwin Allen's Land of the Giants when I heard you talking about that? It was space travel, getting, you know, from one side of the country to the other in an hour or something. And it was very interesting anyway. There's a company that has touted balloon rides to low Earth orbit. And my understanding is they're talking about locating on the space coast and doing that from here. How far out in the future are these things?
I think many of those, yeah, I think you're mentioning Space Perspective, which is right here in Titusville. And they're all getting very close. And I think you're going to start to see some of those, maybe not in the next 2 to 3 years at most, where we'll start to see that become more regular activities. And it is really, I think it's really exciting, as you actually used that same word before, is it? It really starts to stoke the imagination of what we're going to see coming down the pipe here in the next 5 to 10 years.
Going back to the training and education, there are opportunities here in those industries. Do you guys work with the education folks as well and maybe helping to guide them as what's going to be needed down the road? Is that something that you help facilitate?
Yes, absolutely. We work with the credentialing offices and teams that are looking at, you know, what the different credential programs that are out there to make sure those are aligned well and we've captured the right types of certifications. And then we are also working with industry to partner with various, you know, education, either schools or universities, and build some of those pipelines. And I would say that what I've really noticed is that industry, the aerospace industry at large, is really interested in partnering with schools and districts to try to build some of these programs, because I think they see that need, obviously acutely for their own business, but really as a broader opportunity to build a really robust workforce.
We've got some time left with Rob Long, the president and CEO of Space Florida, and we continue in moments on the Roundtable.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. That's 800-273-1623.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003, 800-485-6003, 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Talking Space Florida on this edition of the Florida Roundtable. The president and CEO of Space Florida, Rob Long, is with us. And Rob, as we continue this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're listening this weekend, let's talk about the future of space. I've been a Star Trek guy since I was a kid. I saw the first episode and I was hooked. We're not there, and it's going to be a while before we get there. What are we going to, and how quickly are we getting there?
Well, when we think about it, or the way I like to think about it, is, you know, space is just another mode of transportation. You know, even the state recognized that as really the only and the first to recognize space as official mode of transportation almost 20 years ago. And so that's the kind of mode of thinking that we're approaching the future in, is what are all of the parts of a transportation network that you'd see in any mode of transportation, whether that's by sea, by land, or by air. And you're going to need various components. You're going to need the hubs that are the point-to-point places where goods and services move. You might need, but as of now, that's largely just going from the ground up into space. We're really thinking about what does that look like in the future of going from the ground into space, but then in and around space, whether that's near the Earth or then going from the Earth to the moon and moon to the Mars and all of that, and really trying to understand what that network is going to look like. That so our future is really focused on obviously making sure that we have a robust space transportation network here across the state, and that's going to include thing that will either be on orbit or have components that are related to orbit.
I guess it's been 3 or 4 decades ago. I was reading Popular Science, Popular Mechanics or something, and they were talking about hotels in space. There are people talking about that today. Do you have any kind of time frame in mind that kind of tourism is going to be possible and going to be happening from here or even elsewhere?
Yeah, it's difficult to put a timeline on that. That's definitely something that you're right is a lot of interest in right now. And I think you'll see that even interest from agencies like NASA who are looking for commercial options and alternatives for the future. So that will change over time. I think it's really difficult to say when that will be. But our goal from a Space Florida perspective is to make sure that we're thinking through all of the various potential futures and then working with both the companies themselves, working with regulators, working within state government to make sure that we have the right framework in place so that when that becomes a more robust activity, that we have the regulatory framework in place to continue to support that and then continue the pace and acceleration that we're seeing right now.
And of course, the safety aspect of it all, which has got to be paramount.
Safety always is. That was the number one thing in my past life, and it remains today. And frankly, you know, the teams that are associated with ensuring everything is done in a safe manner are outstanding, and they do a phenomenal job making sure that no activity occurs that is not going to make be in a safe manner. But over time, you know, we'll see as reliability of launch vehicles and systems continues to improve and increase that you will see it become no different than an aircraft taking off in an airport. And we'll start to see that happen, I think, in the coming years.
Well, as you mentioned that, it strikes me that it's quite possible that Florida has the opportunity to be the example for other places as those hubs become necessary. You were talking about earlier, whether it's for transportation, cargo, whatever it may be, an opportunity to lead the way and show how this should be done. And that investment here in Florida could be very valuable, not to just Florida, but to the world.
Yeah, you've hit it exactly right. And I would argue that we actually are the example today. And our goal is to continue to build that and make it even more robust. There are very few places in the world that are multimodal like we are here at Cape Canaveral, for example, where you have not only the spaceport aspect of it, but you also have access to air where there's at least 2 runways right on spaceport property or territory. And then, of course, co-located with the seaport right next door. So that is where when you really start to consider it under a transportation framework or a logistics framework, that not only are we well postured, we're well postured to be the leaders going forward. And that's effectively what we are intending to do from here on out. Really want to make, under the mindset that we want to maximize the amount of commerce flowing into space through the state of Florida.
As we look at that, and you mentioned the spaceport or the seaport that they're in, Port Canaveral, it's integral right now in bringing back reusable pieces of launch vehicles and the like. That's going to continue and maybe need some expansion itself. And I've got about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in my past, that I ever thought a seaport would be that critical, but the maritime recovery piece of this is absolutely vital to maintaining the cadence and capacity of the spaceport. And we're looking at how to make that a robust part of the system.
We've got one more segment with Rob Long here on the Florida Roundtable. We'll wrap it up as we talk Space Florida, their role in making sure space is viable and thriving here in the Sunshine State. When we continue on the Florida News Network.
Great deals are now Blue Munich Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruiting plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. Open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists, top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Healthcare.gov is here for you when life happens. If you lost your health coverage because of turning 26, going off Medicaid, leaving your job, or moving, you could be eligible to enroll in new coverage now. And if you need to update your coverage because of marriage or having a baby, you could also be eligible. But don't wait. There's a limited time to enroll. Check your eligibility at healthcare.gov today. Life happens. Get covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Being a resident of the Space Coast myself, I'm always excited to talk space and Florida, and we've been doing it all hour long with Rob Long of Space Florida. He's the president and CEO there. Rob, as we close it up, just a few minutes left in the show today. Let's talk about the future and what's coming and what excites you about what you're doing and where we're headed here.
Well, you know, at Space Florida, you know, we offer leading aerospace companies everything they need to see their new ideas take off and to really grow and expand not only their own company's ambitions, but really the entire state's aerospace industry. So as we look ahead, you know, we're going to continue to to do everything we can to keep pace with that. We're going to continue to invest in the infrastructure that's required to make sure that that has a strong foundation going forward. But really, I think at this point in time, we continue to just keep pushing and keep finding new ways to make Florida just the best it can as an attractive place for aerospace companies to grow.
As a resident of the Space Coast, we have seen ups and downs in the Titusville area in particular, as far as the economy, dependent on how active NASA and the space program have been. And with what I'm seeing with commercial space now, it looks like there's a trend here that's going to be more conducive to a long-term sustainable situation for an economy, at least in that part of Florida, in any part of Florida that's impacted by space, as opposed to the ups and downs of a shuttle program ending, Apollo ending, and we'd see big negatives at that point. I see it being a more steady thing in the future.
You're right. When we talk about decisions that were made 10 and 15 years ago to pivot to support the commercial market, I think we're seeing the fruits of that, of those decisions now. And you're right, we're starting to just kind of see the aerospace industry grow, the space industry on the commercial side grow. And I think in the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to see a lot of the payoffs of some of the developmental efforts that have continued to just continue to drive, like I said, that flywheel of growth as we go forward.
For those young entrepreneurs who are starting their businesses, maybe looking at engineering and aerospace, for those companies that are existing that may hear this show this weekend, what advice do you have for them as they look at jumping in to what is essentially a growth industry and how Space Florida can help them?
Well, I would say just do just that. Jump in. I think we're here to help those types of companies grow. We're here to help find partners for our existing industry. But in the end, you know, my advice to any of those is just to find that niche and go after it, because there's so many opportunities across the state for the aerospace industry, and they will be in a good place.
Is there a particular aspect of space and the work there that really has your interest? If you could jump in and say, that's where I'm going and that's where I'm going to be, is there one you really like?
Well, treating it like a mode of transportation and really figuring out how we're going to build the space transportation network of the future, something I've been involved with in the past for quite a while, and I'm really looking forward to trying to tackle here into the future.
Very good. Rob Long, President and CEO of Space Florida, thank you for taking the time, spending it with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable, and we'll look forward to having you back someday as we see things grow and progress. There's going to be a lot to talk about, and I'll look forward to doing that.
Anytime, Bill. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. If you missed anything we've done, you can always pick up the podcast at BillMick.com. You can catch up with me there. Feel free to drop us an email. This week, an exciting visit looking at how we get to space and what we're going to do to sustain that. We'll see you next weekend for our next edition of the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.